Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Where do I start? First of all, there was a tsunami warning yesterday. I know. I mean, all because of this sixth largest earthquake that happened in Russia. So I was out watering the plants and my ex messaged me saying, "Did you hear about the tsunami warning?" I'm like, no. And he said, "Watch the TV." I'm like, okay, like you can't just tell me. So I watch the news and I find out, you know, and I message back because of the earthquake in Russia. Like, could you have not just told me that? And he's like, yes. Okay. So there's a warning, right? And then I say, well, you know, you're right by the beach, because he wanted to move by the beach. He's like by a bay, so it's not directly on the ocean, but, you know, it's the sixth largest earthquake, so you don't know exactly how strong this can be. I mean, it can be anywhere from like 0 to 10 meters. We don't know. Turns out later on it wasn't a big deal and some boats had issues, you know, were damaged, but nothing major. But it was a warning, and in my opinion, you should not take warnings lightly, right? I've seen it all the time with hurricane warnings and things like that. I've never experienced a tsunami. I don't know. I've just seen it on YouTube, right? Like all these tsunami in Japan. And anyway, I said to him, I was like, are you gonna take this seriously? Like, are you going somewhere? I guess he was just gonna go to bed. And I said, what about your van? What about your stuff? You know, like if there is flooding, your apartments may be fine, but not your vehicle. So anyway, it turns out, like I said, why don't you come here and stay in the office, and then you don't have to worry, right? Like in my mind, I'm thinking better safe than sorry. And if nothing happens, even better. So that's what happened. He came over and he slept in the office. I was like, okay, I mean, to myself, I'm thinking I'd rather have him safe than not, right? I don't wish him evil. I don't wish anything bad. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, I guess I'm taking this well, right? I don't know. Some days are good, some days not so good, but they're getting better. And a lot has happened, because in my mind already, I'm shifting of moving. I have a set date. It's happening at the end of August. I've decided, because at first I was nervous because everything was uncertain with the job. If I stay, yes, I have a job, but I can't pay everything with that job. So there's no point in me staying. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to move. So next week I'm going to look at apartments. I'm driving there and I've organized like 7 appointments to find something. They're all in a similar price range. And I'm looking at North Hollywood only because it's a good distance in the middle. I will be teaching, even though I don't have like set dates. That'll start happening when school starts, and which is in October. And then North Hollywood has a subway, like LA has a subway now, a metro, which it had just started when I lived there, like 15 years ago. Anyway, there's a metro in North Hollywood and that takes me downtown because I'm planning on getting this job. I know you can't necessarily plan for it. I have materialized the shit out of this. Like, it's happening. Like in my mind, it's happening. So, turns out, I got a third interview. Like I was waiting for a yes or a no if I have the job or not, because I didn't hear back after my stage. So a week later, I contacted the manager and I said, you know, I'd love to join the team. Can you just let me know if you've decided? And then he says, I will have a third interview with the owner of the company. And I didn't know anything about this third interview. And I'm like, oh, great, like good, because I'm still in the running, but bad because this is cutting it really close to the first, you know, because on the first, I have to give the notice of 30 days moving out. And it was just like scary to me, you know, but I'm thinking I have to trust. That's all I have. I just have to trust that it'll fall together because it's meant to happen and that's where I'm meant to be. But it's that fine line, right? Like one day I'll freak out and the next day I'm like, it's good. Everything's good. You know, so it's back and forth. And plus I'm a Gemini, so that doesn't help. Yesterday, I had the third interview. I worked and then straight after work, I came home because it was a video interview. So it was the owner of the company and he asked me multiple questions. They were very insightful questions about my managing style, what would make me stay in the company, you know, because he's seen I move a lot. So that's a red flag for them. And just how, you know, I would treat the staff and what I'm looking for. So anyway, I think I answered it pretty well. But before I had the interview, the day before, they sent me this interpretive characteristic test, which I had to take. They said there's two tests. One takes about 6 minutes and the other takes 12 minutes. And I'm like, okay. So they sent me this test. I took it at night, like right before I went to bed. I look at the email. It takes me to the test. I take the first one and it basically says, what is your managerial style at work? Like, which words would you describe for your style? So it's a whole page of just words, maybe like 50 words. And I'm thinking, let's not go overboard. You know, like all of these tests have like some giant explanation somewhere, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to overdo it, right? So I see all these words, but I'm thinking, I'm just going to do a few. So I did like 5 words, you know. I think one of them was compassionate. Another one was assertive, controlling. Because at work, as a manager, you want to listen to what people have to say, right? Like the people you work with. But things also need to get done. So you have to have a certain timeline. You have to have authority without being too authoritative. So anyway, I did like 5 words and I'm thinking, okay, I'll just go with this. Like, fingers crossed. Took me a minute. Okay, it took me a minute. And then it goes to the next test. And I'm like, oh, is this part of the same test? Like, I'm confused because the other page literally just took a minute. I'm like, okay. So I do the second test and then it says, check the words that describe you in the workplace. And I'm like, what? Like, this is kind of similar. So I'm like, okay, I'll do like 7 words, right? I didn't do a lot. Different words, again, like 50. So I check like 7 and I think in that one I added, maybe in that one I added compassionate. It was something less authoritative, right? It was more like personal with like a word. I forget the words. So anyway, that took me like 2 minutes and then it was done. They're like, oh, you're done with the test. And I'm looking for another one and I'm like, what? I'm so confused. Because this whole thing took me like 3 minutes. Okay, I'm not saying I'm like a testing whiz. I'm not, but I didn't want to miss anything. So I thought I did something wrong, you know? So I keep going onto the email looking for another test and I didn't see one. I'm like, okay, I guess that's it. And then I get an email saying that I just did the test and my word for myself, it says controlling. It says, I am controlling. And I'm like, oh, like that can't be good. Like nobody wants a controlling person. I've worked with plenty of controlling chefs, and I don't consider myself controlling as a chef. I mean, okay, let me just say all chefs are controlling to a point. That's why they are chefs. But yes, I have controlling factors, and yes, I've talked about my lists and all these things on this podcast. Okay, so maybe I am controlling, but I wouldn't say extreme like some other chefs. Anyway, I'm trying to talk myself out of this. I got an email saying I'm controlling, like that's my word. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like I hope this isn't negative, you know? So I don't know. I go to work. After the work, I have the interview, and it's the manager and the owner. First off, the manager's there, and he says, I just want to say, you aced the test. You are the perfect person. Like, that's what this test is showing him. Like, the words I picked are perfect. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, they are looking for a controlling person. And I thought, great. You know, I was so worried yesterday, and I'm like, well, there you go, like trying to be like, of course I'm perfect. And I was so surprised. And he said, the algorithm just says you are the perfect employee. And I'm thinking, great. So hire me already. Anyway, I have the interview, goes great. And then after that, the manager says, we will discuss, like he's going to discuss with the owner and whoever else, and we will get back to you in 2 days. So it's supposed to be tomorrow, he said, or Friday. But it went so well, right? You don't tell somebody you are the perfect employee and not hire them. I mean, everything is going so well, right? It's so perfect. So I'm like, I freaking have this job. Like, I know I do. Even though in the past, I have had great interviews and I ended up not getting it. It's either like if there's somebody else that's in line. Like, for instance, when I had the interview for the chocolate company, like when I first interviewed, the interview went really well. But what happened was I didn't get the job initially, and the owner of the company gave it to somebody he had promised it to. So I was like the backup. I was never intended to get it. But I ended up getting it because I have a visa and a green card, you know, at that time. And this person was a British citizen and couldn't get the visa. So it went back to me. But initially, I didn't get it. And I was like, why? I was so confused, right? Anyway, that's the episode I talk about where bad things happen in threes, because that same day, I get in a car accident. Anyway, it's my top-rated episode. Check it out. People are attracted to bad things. Okay. So anyway, I'm the perfect employee. This is what I'm finding out. And I'm going to find out in the next couple of days. But I felt great. And then today I had to take off work because I had to take a test for an LA community college. So this is for a different community college. I will probably be teaching at 2 community colleges already, but there's a third one that I applied for. And they are interested in me, but I had to take this test where I go onto Google Meets and video myself. It's live, right? I'm taking the test and somebody is watching me take the test so that I'm not cheating or looking up answers on the computer. Then it was a timed test for 2 hours. I think it took me like an hour 10 because I double checked everything. The position is for a culinary assistant. So the test, it was 70 questions, not all about pastry. Only a few were. Most of them were in the kitchen for cooking. And I'm like, damn. I'm not sure about some of these, but I felt pretty good about it. You know, I may not be the top candidate because my specialty is pastry. Yes, I can cook, but I didn't train in regular culinary. Anyway, I took the test and then I thought, I'm gonna go to the gym. Like, I was done in a timely manner. So I thought, let me go swim. I wanted to do something outside, right? The usual, I always want to go outside. So I went and I swam. It was perfect. I was on the super deep end. So I'm like diving. It was sunny out, like the day after the tsunami, like nothing happened. And I thought, yeah, this is great. Like, I had to swim. I get dressed, all that. And as I'm doing my hair, there's a woman. Like, I'm in the locker room, and there's a woman kind of toward the back on the bench, like she's changing, and she has a stroller with her, and there's a baby, right? Like, maybe a year and a half. Again, I don't know child ages. I'm going to say a year and a half. And anyway, I'm like brushing my hair, and I see her, like she's, her back is toward me. But she's like brushing the side of her face because she's crying. And I know that feeling, right? Like, you are so sad and you can't stop but not cry. And you don't want to because it's in public, but you're so overwhelmed and you just feel shitty and you can't help but cry. And I saw it and I totally sympathized, right? I don't know what she's crying about, but a few weeks ago, that was me, you know? Like, that was me. And everyone's living their world, doing their thing, like we all do. And I said, no, like, I'm gonna help her, right? Like, that's what I thought. I asked her, are you okay? And she turned toward me and she like started crying more. And she said, no, like, I'm just overwhelmed, you know? And I said, like, do you need help? Like, do you want me to help you? And anyway, she said, she was like 25, I don't know, young. And her baby, you know, he was crying a little bit, but he was basically touching his baby penis. like all men do, eventually, right? This is how they start. This is a normal baby, a normal male baby, right? He's discovered his dick and he can't stop touching it. So she keeps covering it up. You know, she's like totally crying and stressed and overwhelmed. And at the same time, she's embarrassed that he keeps uncovering it. I like kind of start to laugh and I'm like, don't worry, it's just like a normal guy. Like, this is normal. You know, anyway, she starts saying how she only has $3 and she doesn't know how she's going to feed him later on because he's still drinking milk, but she doesn't produce her own milk. I mean, she didn't say that, right? Like, you wouldn't have to get milk if you had your own milk. The woman has breast implants. Obviously, when you have implants, you cannot produce milk. You know, we didn't talk about it, but it was clear. Like, her breasts were perfectly perky, full. Maybe she got it for her husband that left her. We don't know. I never thought about it before. You know, when you have kids and you have implants, you cannot produce your own breast milk, which sucks when you're poor because you got to think about that. So I say, I have $20. You know, let me get it out of the car. And then she's like, you know, that would really help. And she's like crying even more. And I give her a hug. And I say, you know, just take it like day by day. And then I thought, like, I'm moving. And I have these huge containers of applesauce because I used them for the farmer's market, right? But she can use the applesauce more than me. You know, and I got them at Costco, so they're giant containers. And I thought, you know, what is your address? I will bring them to you. I will bring you stuff. And I say, like, and I have baked goods because I have them in this freezer. I'm not saying they're terribly fresh, right? I didn't tell her that, but it's food. And I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't want to throw it away, right? It's like, yes, I have some brownie. I'm not saying this is like the healthiest food, but I do have banana bars, which are vegan. They have applesauce in them. Like, you know, it's not a crazy amount of sugar. But I didn't know what to do with these baked goods, and I didn't want to throw them away. And I'm leaving in a few weeks. And I said, you know, I have some baked goods. I have this applesauce. I have Jell-O. Like, let me bring you these things. So she said, oh my God, like, that would be amazing. She's like, I tried to go to the food bank, but they didn't have any food. And she was married to somebody in the military. So when she was with him and he was in the military, they were taken care of. But he got, I don't know, bad behavior or something, and he's no longer in the military. So now they're screwed. And they, like, she doesn't know what to do. She left him because he was abusive. Like, the story just keeps getting worse. And he wants nothing to do with his son. Like, she literally doesn't know how she's going to feed her son the next meal. I mean, I have problems. Like, we all have problems, right? But she has bigger problems than me. And she was crying and I was crying because I'm like, fuck, I can help her, right? That's what I can do. I was just in Vegas having a great time with my friend, and I gambled $40 like it was freaking sand, you know? And $40 is a good amount of money for me, right? I'm not making this huge money, but I don't need it as much as she does, right? And I have $20 cash, and I gave it to her, and I said, I will bring you the food, you know, and like the next day. And she's like, thank you so much. And then she's going on to say she's trying to sell her house and she's reducing the price because she needs the money so bad. And she's moving in with her mom, who's 6 hours away, but her mom is still in an abusive relationship. So I'm thinking, crap, you know, like, this is just a cycle. And after this whole thing, I was thinking, everyone just wants to be seen. Everyone has their baggage, has their issues. Like, that's the thing. We are all abused in some way. We just don't realize it. But as we live our lives and we meet the people we meet, we see our patterns and where they come from. And we're just trying to meet people that love us, right? We just all want to be loved. We want to be understood and we want to be seen. That's the journey. Right, and that's a struggle, because then we get together with the wrong people, or who knows, all these things, all these different patterns. And for all of us, it's a journey. We're all just trying to better ourselves, right, for the most part. So I get home, you know, I give her my information and all that, and I get home, the neighbor at my apartment, like, when the windows are open, you can hear what's going on in other apartments. And the neighbor was having an argument with her partner, and they were yelling about, like, him erasing messages on his phone. Who knows, right? But it was an argument. And I'm thinking, damn, like, everyone just has their things and their issues and their trust issues. And we're already hurt when we meet people, right? Like, I had issues before I met my ex, of course. And each time you're with somebody, you want it to be better, right? You hope that this is better this time, you know? And it is, right? In certain ways it is, but then the outcome is the same. And then we move on to the next person. Right? But if we don't look at ourselves, if we don't reflect, then we kind of go through the same baggage and we relive the same thing because we didn't learn from the other thing. So it's just like hurt passing on to hurt, you know? So after each relationship, you have to reflect. You have to look at okay, like what happened? What can I learn from this? How can I be better? And that is my journey now, you know? But today I was just hearing all these things from these people. And I'm like, damn, like we just all need help, you know? And I'm not saying I'm like Mother Teresa, like I'm not. But I just felt like if I can help somebody, I will. You know, I don't want to ignore people. And by no means have I saved this woman's life. I mean, I'd only gave her $20, you know, and I will be giving her some of my food that I'm not using or I don't need. But she has way bigger issues, you know. Hopefully, I helped her a little bit. Hopefully, I gave her some hope. You know, that's all I can ask. And hopefully, she won't end up in another abusive relationship, right? And that's the thing. Like, when you have a child, she has to watch her baby, right? Childcare is $25 an hour, but she only makes $19 for her job. So she's like, well, there's no point doing the job because she has to spend more money for childcare. So it's a lose-lose situation, you know? And for the father of the child to not want to give her any spousal support or not help, and that is his son. Like, that is so sad. I mean, she is struggling hard. Like, if you give a mother money, she will better her family. And hopefully, if you give it to a father, he will do the same. But in most cases, that is not the case. You know, it's like out of sight, out of mind. And I just felt for her so much. So what I'm saying is, don't ignore somebody if you know they need help. You know, we always think, oh, is this person real? Is this a fake story? You know, maybe sometimes it is. But more so than not, people need help. I think just acknowledging somebody and just seeing them and asking, are you okay? That is huge. You know, when I, like a month ago, like sometimes I would just randomly cry because I'm like, fuck. You know, I put myself in this situation and here I am again. And now I'm trying to make it happen for myself. It's not easy. And someone at work asked me, are you okay? And it just made me cry because, no, I'm not. But it's so nice that someone asked me that. I think it's a small things that you can do for others and just to acknowledge somebody, you know, and she has this baby and she doesn't know what to do. So anyway, that was my day. And before I saw her, like I'm swimming in the pool and I'm thinking, oh, I got to go to Trader Joe's and get some things for a salad. I want to make salad. And then maybe I'll see a movie tonight. Like, the thing is, I don't have kids, right? I was never in this situation because you're screwed. If you have to watch your child and you can't work because you're watching your child, like, how are you supposed to get out of that? The only way you can get out of it is with support. You know, I'm here by myself. I don't have friends and family right here. But that's the only way you can truly make it, is with support. So it's hard. And especially in this area, you know, prices are going up, everything's going up. That's why it's been a struggle for me trying to get this job, because rent is high. I have to make a certain amount of money because I'm living on my own. But if you have a support system, you know, if you are with somebody or more people, then yes, it's easier, you know, then it's not all, the weight is not all on you. So that was my day. And I just had this big realization, like, we all have our issues. We all have our hurdles. But if we just recognize each other as people, like this woman, if she has no other options, she would be homeless. I have a credit card. You know, I'm not saying like that is the be all end all, And yeah, I get paid every 2 weeks, you know, because I work. But if I had kids, I couldn't do that. Then you're dependent on somebody. You know, I was thinking about my weekend. Last week, I flew to Las Vegas. This was a trip planned 2 months prior. Like, I was still married, right? I was still, not single. And I planned this trip with her because we hadn't done anything in years. This whole time, she was in LA and I was everywhere else. But now I'm closer. She's able to get free hotel stays because she goes to slot tournaments. So she said, I have this hotel stay if you want to join me. So I said, yes. So we planned it 2 months ago, not knowing that all of this was going to go down. So I planned my flight probably about a month and a half ago. I got the flight to Vegas, like $70 return there and back. Great deal. She picks me up. We're staying at the Cosmopolitan. And it was just great time. I just needed that support, you know, and just to be with a friend. And also that's why I'm so excited about LA, because I do have friends there and it's important to be where you have a support system. So the day she picks me up, we go to this kind of like Chinese area, or it's like an Asian area, like Chinatown. I don't know the name of it, but we went and it's called the Magic Noodle. Amazing. Hand-pulled noodles, fresh noodles made like right, like it's an open kitchen and they make the noodles right there. I got this amazing brisket dish. It was like kind of this brothy beef broth with fresh noodles. Delicious. After that, we go to this pastry shop. It's called Suzuya Patisserie. And there we get this delicious, it's like a green tea crepe roll. Very soft, creamy. Like you can't eat that much of it just because it's all fresh cream. You know, but the crepe was delicious, super soft. And this is a typical dessert in Japan. And the pastry chef is Japanese. So we had that. I had this iced green tea latte. Oh, everything was perfect. And then we go back. We check into the hotel because we had to wait till 3 p.m. Our room wasn't ready right away. We waited an hour and we're just talking. I mean, an hour flew by. It wasn't a big deal. But then they gave us a $100 credit, which we're like, okay, great. This was basically a food trip, right? Every day we ate just delicious food and we had already a $100 credit on the room and we got another credit. So we had $200 to spend of food in the hotel, which we did, no problem. We ate at this delicious Mexican brunch place. It was called Amaya. It wasn't just a brunch place. They also had dinner, but they were open for brunch. And it had this delicious beef brisket Benedict with this chili hollandaise. And she got chilaquiles. We got this delicious tostada, crispy. And on top, it had this thin layer of tuna. It had little dollops of mayo. Had a little truffle oil. It was so delicious and flavorful. And there we also went to a club. They call it a speakeasy. And there were two parts of the club. Like inside was one music, outside was more like kind of hip hop scene. So we were out there. This guy starts following us, which I didn't notice, but because we went inside, we went outside, we got some drinks. Apparently, he followed us, which my friend noticed. And then he made his move and he started like dancing next to me. And I was not interested and I'm kind of ignoring him, you know, because I just wanted to dance with my friend. Also, I don't know what happened that weekend, but there were no cute guys in Vegas. They just weren't attractive. Okay, here's the thing, all right? Women look gorgeous. Women go to all this effort to look gorgeous. And my friend was telling me that one of her friends takes 2 hours to get ready, right? like with makeup and hair and outfits. Women put in so much time to look good. And men put on a basketball shirt and shorts. Hello? Why? Why? Because men are so revered in society, they don't even have to look good anymore. They can just put on like pajamas or some shit. And women have to go on a full-on, like, amazing outfit and makeup. Otherwise, no one's going to notice them. Like, what is that? Right? I mean, I put on makeup. I look nice. I make an effort. But what happened to the days where men actually put on dress shoes and a nice shirt? Right? And how about, like, some decent-looking pants? Why is everything shorts now? And tank tops and basketball shirts? Can we make an effort, please? So this guy, though, he did look okay. Like, he kind of made an effort. But I wasn't into him. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. First off, the music's pretty loud. And he had an accent. I couldn't understand what he was saying. So I'm like, not giving him the interested vibes. And then he went away. So I'm like, thank God. Later on, another guy hits on me. And he's like, we have a table. Do you want to come and have some drinks with us? There were two guys. First off, these guys were like super skinny. I don't know, maybe they were like 24. I don't know, they were so young. But I'm like, okay, because I was thinking, let me see your table. Let me see where you're at. We go to the table, this tiny table. It was so freaking tiny. And the bench, it was like a love seat. It was so tiny. How are four people going to sit there? They can't, you know? So he's being all touchy. He's touching me and I'm not into it. He starts asking me where I'm from, what I say. And his second question is, how old are you? And I'm like, what the hell? First off, why'd you ask me? You know, and I said, why did you ask me that? He's like, oh, I'm just making conversation. I was like, well, that is not the question you ask. And I say, I want to keep dancing. So I leave, you know, I'm not interested. And they were just like too desperate. Okay, as a guy, you don't want to be too desperate, right? Like you want to care and make an effort, but you still got to be cool, right? You can't, because he was like, don't you want a drink? Don't you want a shot? It's free. Like he even said that. And I'm like, no. And I don't care about alcohol. And, you know, who knows? Was he going to roofie me? Like, I don't know. Anyway, not interested. And I think they were wearing shorts. Like, what is it with the short? After that, I kind of, like, lost the vibe a little bit because I just wanted to spend time and dance, right? I don't go out to get hit on. I just wanted to dance. Maybe if there's a cute guy, that's a different story. But there wasn't. There were no cute guys in Vegas. Okay, there was like one, but he was with someone. So I'm like, okay, cool. When we were gambling, like I spent a little bit of money, not a lot, and we gambled on some slot machines. There was a guy who actually looked nice. He was wearing a dress shirt. And he said, I just want to say you look gorgeous. I'm like, wow. I mean, I didn't say that, but I'm like, thank you. I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. And then he's like, my name is Seth. I'm like, I'm Kat, you know, and that's kind of where it stopped because I was out with my friend and he didn't say anything further, right? Like he's being a gentleman. He doesn't want to like push himself onto me. That's it. That's all that happened, you know? And I'm like, all right, cool. You know? So it was nice. The compliment was nice. And he said it in a nice way. And he actually looked pretty good. But that's it. That's all that happened. That's all that happened in Vegas. You know when people say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Well, I just told you what happened. Nothing happened is what happened. But amazing food happened. And we ate at all the good places. We ate at that magic noodle place twice. We went to pastry places. We went to this place called Mango Mango, which had this delicious, it's like a coconut mango soup. It had mango pieces with a coconut milk. It had like this tapioca inside of it. It was delicious. And there I also had this hot sesame pudding, black sesame, with these peanut mochi pieces inside. Delicious. I went to Beard Papa's and I had a cream puff. Years ago, they were in LA. And I think they still have one location there. But I love their custard filling. It's not too creamy. It's a perfect amount of vanilla custard. The actual cream puff itself is very light. Anyway, it was delicious. So we ate at all these places and every day, you know, and I was doing so well, like food-wise, you know, just being healthy and everything. And it just all went out the door when I was in Vegas. I did go to the pool one day. I'm like, oh, let me go to the pool and swim some laps. I get out, and this is on a rooftop because we're staying at the Cosmopolitan. So on the fourth floor is the pool. Everyone's just standing in the pool. So there's no room to swim. And I'm like, oh, you can't actually get into the pool because everyone's just standing, right? Everyone's just drinking and standing in the pool. And I'm like, oh, like nobody's actually swimming laps. So that didn't work. And I didn't want to get sunburnt. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just go back inside. So that's the crazy thing about Vegas, right? Back in the day when you went to Vegas, or I did, you would check out other hotels. But now there's so much happening at just one hotel that you don't have to leave. And they want that. They want you to never leave that hotel. So we didn't. We pretty much stayed there, except for one day we went to see Ka, K-A, which is a Cirque du Soleil show. I saw it over 15 years ago, maybe like 18 years ago. Such a good show. The stage rotates and the stage becomes other things, right? Like it becomes a boat that they're sailing on the water. It becomes a mountain that they climb up to get away from the enemy, right? It becomes all these things and it's so imaginative and amazing. The acrobatics, crazy. Such a good show. And the theater, like the theaters in Vegas are the best because they build the theater for the show. So every show in Vegas is amazing. And we also ate at Roy Choi. He's a chef, like an LA chef. And he has a restaurant there. We got the chef's menu. So good. We were so full. There were 8 items on the menu, but it was only $75 a person. Or 70. I think it was $70 a person for all these items. It included this brined grilled chicken, which had amazing flavor. It had a grilled beef. It had banchan, which are all these little like pickle treats, you know, when you start. It had a shrimp tempura. It was served in a spicy mayo, which was delicious. It was crispy, but also a little spice. It had great flavor. Anyway, it was delicious. I ate everything and I was so stuffed. Oh, we also went to this patisserie, which was very popular, again, in that Asian, like Chinatown area, which is huge. Apparently, Las Vegas has one of the biggest Chinese populations, which I did not know. But all these stores were super busy. So many restaurants, everything was delicious. There's also this place called Unigiri, which basically has sushi sandwiches. It's like seaweed and rice, and you fold it over and you fill it with what you want. Usually there's spam, there's egg, and then you can pick your choice. I did one with egg and spicy tuna. My friend did one with shrimp tempura, spam, and egg. Oh, and then the patisserie we went to was called Moignet, which has mochi beignets, right? So it's a mochi beignet. Moignet, if you get it. You probably got it the first time. But they had mochi filling inside their beignets. And the beignets were hot. And then you bit into it. And it had this delicious mochi filling. And they were all the rage. There was this huge line. So we got that. And I also got this fresh mango covered with this mochi skin. Delicious. It was so fresh and light. That's what I love about these Asian pastry places. It's not overwhelming, it's not super heavy, and it's delicious. So overall, a very successful Vegas trip, food, and it was delicious. So I highly recommend those places. And then the next day, I worked right away. So in the next couple days, I will know if I got the job officially, but either way, I'm moving. I booked my U-Haul. It's happening. Next week, I will drive to LA and check out apartments. And my friend is landing and she's helping me go through some things in the apartment. And I've been doing it. I've been sorting through things. I'm getting rid of things. I'm donating some things. I will still have a lot of things because I guess I just have a lot of things. I don't know, but I'm being better about it. That's the important thing. I still have to go through my clothes. We can only do what we can do, right? We can't stress about everything. Some days I am stressed, but then the next day I'm like, okay, it's okay. I'm fine. Whatever you're going through, be patient with yourself. I'm not good at being patient with myself and I stress myself out. But we all do, right? You can only do what you can manage. That's it. This moving to LA thing, when I decided that I would do it, when I found out, right, this was end of May, it's taken me this whole time just mentally to know what I'm doing, physically, right? Like, get a job. It's taken every piece of time and just to go through my things. To change your life is not a fast transition. It isn't. And you just also need that for your mind to figure out each step. And it's coming together, all right? It hasn't been fast. And that's why it's not easy, because I can't see it yet. I'm starting to see it, but it's taken this whole time. All we can do is trust in the process. Just keep looking forward, look at the bigger picture, look at the goal, but then take each day step by step. And that's hard. It's hard for me because I am a planner, right? Like that test said, I'm a controller. But I can only focus on the things that I can control, which is apply for jobs, take the test, you know? Like I can only do certain things, and that is such a small percentage of the bigger thing, right? But it's getting closer, and I can go and look at apartments, so we'll see. You know, but it's an ongoing process. Whenever you're changing something, it's draining and it's just emotional. So pace yourself, be patient with yourself. And then hopefully in a couple weeks, I will be ready, like mentally, emotionally, physically. Thank you for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.